And that's a huge shift in focus, and I'd say that's really been the in-depth inquiry of the last decade of my writing, and particularly what women do to survivors, recovered and unrecovered. That's of great interest to me.
Any final comments?
I'm just thrilled that you're broadcasting this, and I encourage anybody to contact me through my website, carolyngage.com. You can get to my email. I'd love to hear from any of your listeners about this play. And I guess I should say one of the pieces of history of this play is that many of the women who hear it make radical changes in their lives. They will write to me that they have left their husband or walked out of their job or confronted their perpetrator. So I always enjoy the feedback from the play and the effect it's had on women's lives.
Author and actor Carolyn Gage. That's CarolynGage, CarolynGage.com. Special thanks to Suzette Cullen and to Genevieve Vaughn, editor of Il Dono, The Gift. The Wing sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden, and this is Wings, the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO. In accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify that a meeting is being held.
Tune in to KBOO every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. for Squirrel Snow, the show where we broadcast galactic awareness, animal awareness, where we have fascinating conversations with movers and shakers in the fields of galactic awareness and animal awareness, and we play music that can raise our frequency of consciousness. Yeah, that is Squirrel Snow every fourth Friday of the month at 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO. Portland.
Hi, I'm B.B. King. You know the guy that plays that guitar called Lucille. And when I'm in Portland, I get my blues from KBOO. That's 90.7 FM on your radio. Please stay tuned. They might play one of my records.
And Master B.B. King just said that you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, your favorite community radio station, and we're live tonight in the air room here at KBOO Studios with the Global Sale. The Global Sale every first Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock with your host TK Taparura, who's coming in just a few seconds. We're going to remind you that you can participate in this show if you have a chance. You can call 503-231-8187. That is 503-231-8187. And TK is right here, and he's going to tell you all about Africa and the world of sailing.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Feels good to be here once again. For those just joining us, my name is TK Kapura, and I'm your host this evening. If you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome on board. You're listening to the Global Sale Show on KBOO Portland. Before we dive into our stories tonight, I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the programs and the stories that we're going to share, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. Before we warm up into our conversation, into our storytelling project, I just wanted to play you a song called Africa by Salif Keita. Salif is one of the best African musicians of our time, and he's from Mali. The song Africa from the group led by Salif Keita. He's one of the best musicians Africa has ever produced. So tonight we're going to talk about Africa. Before we go into the deeper veins of what Africa is, I want to just give you a brief history about Africa. A lot of people wonder, like, why do African communities speak different languages? Why don't they speak the same? Like, some people actually believe, some people think there is a language called African. There is no language called African. Every country in Africa, out of the 52 states we have in Africa, every country has a minimum of at least four languages, I would say, estimate four languages, right? So this is what happened to Africa. In 1814, European nations met in Berlin in Germany to divide Africa, to partition it. They had realized a lot of resources in Africa, gold, diamonds, many other things, oil, rubber, and many other stuff that they wanted to achieve. So to avoid conflict among African among European nations, avoiding conflict in Africa, they had to sit down and talk about Africa in Germany, in Berlin, 1814. So when they met in Berlin in 1814, they started now apportioning Africa to their different European nations. The bigger powered nations in Europe took what they considered maybe some of the best nations. And based on that, that's when the scramble for Africa started, 1814. So Europeans started getting into Africa to colonize Africa. So the art behind the colonization was, first of all, some used the Bible. They call it the flag followed the cross. So it initially was the flag. It was initially the cross. That means Christian missionary activities first to warm up and get to know the situation better, to understand the terrain, the people, and the cultures. Then following that, people who would be colonized, now the flag would be replacing the cross. So a number of Africans fell into that because at first, because of the hospitality that Africans had, they were so trusting to strangers, feeding, trusting, giving them where to stay and so forth, showing them around. Little did they realize that by accepting Christianity, they were compromising too, because that paved way for colonial masters to come in and start establishing colonialism. And colonialism became so brutal and ruthless that so many people were killed, so many people were dispossessed of their lands, they were dispossessed of their belongings, they lost everything, and in some ways they were also would be taxed. So from owning certain property, you become taxed in your own land, you are limited on movement, you are limited on everything. That was colonial rule. Based on that, a lot of other horrible things happened because Europe came into Africa to disturb the settings. So with that came the situation where every African state had to be subjected to a colonial nation in Europe. That colonial nation brought its own culture to the people. That culture could be, for example, you see the Congo, they speak French. The French, when the French were in Africa, they made a point that wherever they went, they made sure their language dominated the local communities. So you go into Congo, people speak French from the village to the city and back to the village. Most of the languages were forgotten or abandoned as the French wanted everybody in their colonial territories to breathe French, speak French, and think like French. That was the French. Same thing happened to those who were subjected to Portuguese colonies. You find Portugal in dominating in countries like Angola, Mozambique. They would speak Portuguese in from the village. Find anybody who even have never been to school, have never been to any language school, but they still speak Portuguese. And some of them have even totally forgotten what their language was, but they still practice their culture and as they speak Portuguese. Then same thing happened in Vindo in Namibia, where they speak German. So Britain was there as well as one of the major colonizers. They introduced English culture and English language. The only, I would say, the advantage that we had, like myself, I came from a British territory. I'm not proud of that, but I'm just saying it. We would be able to speak English, taught English and speak English, but there would be a 40% room for you to still speak your language. So I have my language, I speak my language, and they would make sure we only use English to do business, like for movies, entertainment, business in the office, newspapers and so forth. Broadcasting would be in English, books would be written in English, movies would be in English, and many other things would be in English, but still there would be room for our local languages like Shona and Ndebele to be spoken in our homes or in our streets and everything else. Even in schools, the curriculum, some of the curriculum would actually offer Shona as a language for instruction to be taught in schools. That's how we maintained our language. So we were divided through the colonial system. That's why we find so many different patches of different languages coming into Africa. Like, oh, how come you're African, but you don't understand this next person? They are also from Africa. Little do people realize that when the colonial system was introduced to Africa, the main purpose was also to divide and rule, divide and conquer. People got divided through language barriers and all these things. So over the years, over the century, Africa morphed into that multilingual pattern where even the Swahili language, which was supposed to be the most dominant language in Africa on the belt south of Sahara from Cape to Cairo, would still be diluted by these lingua franca languages being brought into Africa by Europe. That's the basic history lesson I'm going to teach you or share with you today. Before I move on further to the next part of the African system, how it works, I'm going to play one of my most favorite songs. It's called Nakazonga. It's a Congolese song called Nakazonga. It was sung by Lokua Kanzu. It's called Nakazonga. Please enjoy.
Mopembo, kezalinde liwateo.
Totika bamboka musika, tukende koluka bomoi ma. Tokoma mitelengano, namboka mopaya, nani ya sungayo. Pasi na pasi e.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Atandeleo.
Mopembo, kezalinde liwateo.
Liwateo.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Bako yanga, bako yambanga.
Mopembo, kezalinde liwateo.
Na kozonga mboka e.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Aye, bayama.
Mopembo, kezalinde liwateo.
Tandeleo, tokozonga Kinshasa. Pasio yo elekie ninyokolo. Boka ya mupaya pasi baninga. Atandele tokozonga Kinshasa. Pembeni ya bayeba ndakayo. Atandele, tokozonga mboka o. Boka babo tabiso. Atandele.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Na kozonga.
Mopembo, ezalinde liwate
o. Baninga.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Zalise lopo yangonga.
Mopembo, ezalinde liwate o.
Lobi to kozonga mboka.
Nakei, kasi lobi na kozonga.
Na kozonga eh.
Mopembo
kezali ndeli wateo.
Nakei
kasi lobi na kozonga Kinshasa mame.
Mopembo
kezali
ezali ndeli wa te
nakei kasi lobi nakozonga novembo ezali ndeli wa te nakei kasi lobi nakozonga novembo ezali ndeli wa te nakei kasi lobi nakozonga.
Thank you for listening in. You were just listening to this song called Nakazonga by Lokua Kanza. This is a Congolese song. It's about peace. I mean, there is so much love and so much peaceful messages being spread across through the lyrics of this song. I love it personally, and I could play it every day of my life. For those just joining us, my name is TK Kapura. I'm your host this evening. You are listening to KBOO, our main station here. If you're enjoying the program, please can you show your support for us by just going to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers 44-321. And for those wishing to call in for an interaction with me, the numbers are 503-231-8187. Again, the call-in numbers are 503-231-8187. So I was just talking about how colonial system started in Africa. I happen to be from Zimbabwe, one of the colonized nations. Actually, the whole of Africa was colonized except for one nation, Ethiopia. Ethiopia was never colonized. The Italians tried to colonize Ethiopia, but there was just one battle that decided everything, defined the future of Ethiopia. Italians moved out of Ethiopia fast enough, and that was it. So Ethiopia never got to be colonized. That was the only lucky nation in Africa. Right, so when the colonial system came to Africa, there was a lot of things that happened. Lifestyles changed. A lot of land was taken and put into the hands of the Europeans, who were coming into Africa. They would get vast lands and also acquire vast head of cattle as part of their ownership scheme. They would also own the means of production. That means the farms, the mines, and they would also build factories. But when they build those factories, they needed labor, because the Industrial Revolution had not really taken much impact into Africa. So they depended much on human labor for filling up positions in the farms, the mines, and factories. So who would be needed for that? The African local native people would be recruited into working longer hours, less wages, as they also were made to forget about their own lifestyles and their own systems, how things were working. They were turned into daytime slaves for the European masters that were in the system. So that's the bad part of the whole history behind colonial system. So while all that happened, religion was also happening. Through religion, Europeans set up mission hospitals and churches and many other things. But as they did that, they made it a point that African religions that existed in those times and those days would have to be considered barbaric. So by barbarism, that means even traditional instruments were banned. Most of these things that they practiced through their own beliefs and through their own ways of like praying for rains, praying for peace, doing many other things, they had to be cut off from the system, as they were considered uncivilized or barbaric or out of touch with the modern world. So a lot of things had to be changed because the colonial system existed. But the colonial system came with a lot of cruelty, taxation, many other prejudices that existed. And there would also be a caste system in that way that white was considered pure, 100% white, that was pure. If you were of mixed race, you would be considered half-caste. You would be like in the middle of the range, because it was hierarchy. 100% white, pure, then mixed blood, you would be in the middle of the row, then the darker your skin, that meant you would be the lowest on the hierarchy of social rankings in terms of respect that you'd be earning on the street or in your community or before the Europeans. So that said, they made sure that even on housing, when it came to urban development, on housing, even on employment, many other chances on priorities of things, even for benefits, they made sure 100% white you get the best, then the middle rank being the mixed blood or any other person in between would be considered of lower status. So skin color, then hair quality, the quality of hair. In Africa, they would use the pencil. If you put your pencil or a pen in your hair, if it falls down, that means the hair is smooth. So you get better benefits than the one whose pen can still hang on the head, on the hair. That was a way also to segregate or to say, okay, those with hair that does not hold a pen, they deserve better benefits than the ones whose hair can still hold a pen. Besides the skin color, many other things, many other factors. So it also meant a lot in terms of opportunities. Like, for example, in my country, Zimbabwe, back then being called Rhodesia, there were certain professions that were not meant for local native people. You'd find by the 60s, we had just a few doctors. Maybe they would have been favored to go outside the country, then come back and practice, but their practice was very limited. Even engineers, accountants, attorneys, they would be having limited opportunities. Even up to the time I went to law school there, we only were supposed to be 40 students in a class for the whole nation, just 40 students a year. That was how the system filtered people to prevent them from getting opportunities. The same way the medical school only took 50 students every year, just to make sure that Africans would be kept behind the social systems, behind any potential opportunities for them to grow. So all those prejudices that came with the colonial system did not only end in Zimbabwe, they happened everywhere. That's why it took Mandela 27 years to be in prison fighting for freedom in South Africa, because it was based on apartheid, segregation, racial segregation, just to prove a point that white is superior. White supremacy became the dominant factor in social systems in Africa as a way to make sure that Africans were kept behind the scenes and recognized, no matter how much they tried to work hard, no matter how much they may have tried to get out of that segregationist system, it was so difficult because the conditions were so unfavorable. There were many other things that happened. Is people then started to try to fight the colonial system. There would always be many other reactionary forces to hold the Africans down so that they could still remain subservient to the colonial system. So this is the history behind Africa. That's why you see so many people speak, oh, French, oh, English, Spanish, Portuguese, German. We were divide to rule, divide to conquer. That's how we were divided. But still, with time and with awareness and with many other factors, some Africans started rising against the colonial system. That's why between the early 60s and late 80s, actually late 70s, we find a lot of African nations being able to stand up and fight the colonial system, to get rid of the colonial system so that they could be independent. Many countries got independent that way, by fighting the colonial system. And the last country that's recognized as independent in Africa would be South Africa, after Nelson Mandela got released from prison and there were talks to get rid of the apartheid system after so many protests globally to fight apartheid in South Africa. South Africa became independent, Mandela became free, and the world assumed everything in Africa would be settled finally in 1989 or 1990, thereabout. That's when South Africa, being the last born child of Africa, became free. Before I move on to more information about my awareness for African affairs and African history, just also want to play you another one of my most favorite songs. This one is coming from a man named Kanda Bongo Man. He's from Congo. It so happened that today I'm just into Congo. This man called Kanda Bongo Man became one of the best musicians ever to come from Congo. He's also known for his dancing skills, his good voice, and his cheer on his face when he delivers his music. He's always a happy man. That's who he was. A lot of people loved him for that. He actually, at some point, became a minister of culture based on his foundations as a musician. So it's so interesting how his music grew and influenced and inspired Africans of the modern day, like from the 80s, 90s, all the way into the early 2000s. Kanda Bongo Man was a household name. So please enjoy this song called Muchina by Kanda Bongo Man from the Congo.
Let me
Yeah, for those just joining us, you're listening to the Global Sale Show on KBOO. Thank you for listening in. And we happen to have a caller.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm hoping that this will turn out to be a good call and that there is honesty behind, but I don't want to have you feel that I'm being a white, hateful person. But there are two questions. One, I know that our histories have been bad, like my Irish ancestors talked about. Yeah. All the people coming over, they died, and they were always having to... There were so many people dying on the Irish coffin ships, dumping them overboard. Uh-huh. But they were glad that when they were here, finally. Do you ever feel that in spite of the bad things that happened to your ancestors, you're glad you're here?
Yes, I appreciate being here. At least there were some other things too that happened. I was part of that, yes, that led me to be here.
Mm-hmm. And your own hard work, obviously, and I'm so glad you are here.
Thank you.
And I want you can't speak for the whole continent, obviously, but my heart breaks for the pygmies in Congo and who are often eaten and because they're little people, they're not considered so much people, but they're fair game for meat. For the soldiers, and I've seen pictures of butchered pygmies, and of course, there's the ongoing problems in Nigeria. Is there any way that, I mean, that's hopefully not continuing white causes, but how do we, as a whole people, begin to love each other more?
I haven't heard about cannibalism as such, but there were some other issues happening in Africa, but I haven't heard about the cannibalism part.
Well, they don't consider the little people to be, you know, human beings like the troops that are much, much taller. Of course, they consider them born to be animals in the forest. That's, I understand people can think different things and give themselves an excuse to do something that we wish they wouldn't. Well,
yeah, actually... It's, sorry to interrupt, yeah.
Sure.
It's just good that humanity has to, like, respect each other and we'll move forward as one people through the global village, understanding that we have now become one. So we have to move forward, love each other, understand each other, and be caring about the next person. Yeah, that's the most important thing that we would love to see the whole world do, just to cater for the next person, to respect life. And to honor each person's interests, because everybody has a right to live and the right to breathe. So we honor that, and that's what we cherish and we clamor for.
Thank you so very much for your program.
Oh, thank you too for listening and for calling in. We really appreciate that. And yeah.
Okay, so I'll get off the phone and let other people call in and listen to the program some more.
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for those listening to us on KBOO radio station. And we'll continue with our conversations and storytelling about the African experience. So right now, I'm going to share a little bit more about the social life in Africa. Besides our own challenges in Africa as Africans, we also have the lighter side of the brighter side of things. The brighter side of things in Africa is that people love and care for each other. Even if I were to be like in Washington, D.C., and I saw somebody from Africa, I know that person is from Africa, I'll go say hi. And when we go to say hi, we say hi, my brother, or hi, my sister. If they look elderly, we just say hi, auntie, or hi, uncle. I don't know them. I've never met them in my life, but it's a title for respect. And it's a title to identify and to acknowledge each other on the streets and to know that somebody is there, needs that kind of attention and respect. So when we talk about it takes a village to raise a child, we are talking about caring for each other, caring for the next person, so that the generations and the communities can move forward with love and kindness. So that it takes that line that says it takes a village, it also represents the way we are raised in Africa as children. We respect our elders and we become children of our community. So if I do good in our community, not only my parents are proud of me, the whole community is proud of me. And they can brag even to other people way above and beyond in other places far away, they can still brag, oh, we have our child who did this, who invented a car, or who brought this kind of thing to our community, or we are proud of our child. The same thing if I'm in trouble. If you're in trouble, you're not only embarrassing your family, you're embarrassing the whole community. So that means the whole community must stand up when they see you falling astray. They can come after you and say, hey, stop what you're doing. Don't drink, don't drive if you're still young. Don't do this, don't do that. Just stay close to what elders would expect you to do. Stay responsible, don't fight, don't be violent. Many other things we're grown up to just follow because it's the community. My parents' eyes are not everywhere, so the community's eyes are on me. That's why they say it takes a village to raise a child. I'm a child of my village because I owe them good things to report back on. I owe them good discipline. I owe them kindness and many other good things that promote communities to thrive in peace and prosper in kindness. That's how we do it in Africa. The same way when we do like community events, when we want to like throw a party, it's not anybody's party. It's a party for the community. The first person who can bring some drinks, the second person can bring the barbecue meats, the third person brings water. Anybody else can bring anything. But when you get to an African party, nobody's going to ask you for an ID. Nobody's going to ask where you're coming from or why you are here. No, there is nothing like that. You just show up. People are happy to see you. Welcome. Sit down. What do you drink? What do you eat? Nobody's going to give you the questionnaire for 10 questions on why you are there or who invited you. How do you know these people at this party? There's nothing like that. Even if you eat our food, we're not going to follow you or talk about it. Like, oh, do you know? Did you see how he ate? Did you see how much he ate? No, they are not going to say that. People take gratitude in the way somebody feels comfortable in their presence. You come to our place, we feed you, we feel good because you've eaten. We're grateful if you clean up the plate, eating everything. That's a sign of a good-hearted appreciation of the hospitality if you finish up the food. We're going to celebrate because you finished up the food. So we take joy in giving and we take joy in welcoming guests, making them feel at home and making them feel appreciated so that next time or wherever they are going, they will do the same thing to the next person and the next person. That's how village kindness spreads. It spreads like a wildfire, but it helps the communities to thrive in good kindness and also in sympathy, empathy, and many other things that just make the community thrive peacefully and live well and taking care of each other. That's how Africa is defined: love, kindness, trust, and peace. Of course, we have had our own problems of not having peace, but our own issues of not having peace are not because of our own. I'll explain a little bit more on why Africa does not have peace. The peace that we are missing in Africa is because of our resources that we have. You find a nation like having minerals, gold, it may have diamonds and many other things, but by the moment they try to mine those diamonds to make it their own product or to make the products help the community, there is nothing like that. Even if there is oil, you look at Nigeria, there's oil. Then you look at how many people are benefiting on that oil as a product of Africa. It's a different story. So other superpowers come into the picture. They divide you. They take a few so that they can dine with them at the higher table while the communities suffer. So by the time the communities are suffering, they are also plotting against those ones, those few ones at the higher table. Like, why are they eating alone? Why are they enjoying these things alone when we are all here supposed to benefit? So wars start, tribal wars start, so some will get guns and some will get spears, whatever they can get to try to fight the system so that we can all be at the higher table, so we can all enjoy the fruit of the nation. We all need, deserve to enjoy the benefits of the nation, but when we fail to enjoy those benefits, that's when war starts, then corruption, then other leaders failing to get out of power. They don't want to relinquish power, they don't want to get out there. They want to stay in power forever and rule for life. In this case, you take me as an example. I'm from Zimbabwe. We had a president for 37 years in office. I grew up thinking being a president could be a lifetime job. That's what I was thinking. But little did I realize there are some democratic states out there. 2 terms are long enough for a president to leave. They say politicians should just be treated as diapers. Once they go bad, they need to be changed the same way. But then in Africa, leaders don't go. They just sit there and they are sponsored to stay there, and they are defended by other superpowers. Or you stay there so we can keep enjoying the benefits of those minerals and make ourselves richer, our tribes richer, our families richer, while the whole nation is suffering. That's the whole sad picture about Africa. Anyway, before I go deeper again into my storytelling, I'm going to play you a song from Zimbabwe, sung by a man named Oliver Mtukudzi. This song is called Kamburubude. It's a very interesting song because the words that he's singing about are in riddles. He's singing in riddles. He's actually mocking a dictator who doesn't want to go away. He looks at the dictator. The dictator thinks he's the smartest guy because he's in charge of the government, because he has a lot of security. His motorcade is one of the longest motorcades in Africa. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he's Google, but he's not smart. Because why do you call yourself smart when your people are suffering like this? Why do you call yourself wise when you can't even build roads for the people, hospitals for the people? So where is your wisdom? Why do you consider yourself smart when you can't feed your own people? You are just being not a smart person because you failed to serve the people. That's what this song is about. Please listen to this song and enjoy it, from Zimbabwe.
cengere sa giso you wonder I kana kusangona kungwatsa giso
That was Olive Amtuku, the musician from Zimbabwe, with the song Kamburubude, just singing riddles to decry or denounce dictators for failing to serve the masses. All right. So for those just joining us, you're listening to KBOO radio station in Portland. This story today was about Africa. I was just sharing some experiences about Africa, how the history came to be what it is now, and what's affecting Africa. It's a struggle for resources, displacing people, making them refugees when they're running away from a continent so wealthy, so rich with resources, but the resources don't mean anything to the Africans, but it means something to the superpowers and many other things, many other institutions. Those things would mean something. I always want to make an example. The Rhodes Scholarship is from Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, my country, but you then consider how many Zimbabweans qualified for the Rhodes Scholarship. I don't know how many, just a little number over the years, but it's a sad story because that's Zimbabwean wealth distributed to become an international scholarship program. So those are some of the things. Now I'm going to wind up and say in Africa, just quick fun facts, Africa does not have enough music schools. A lot of people who play music in Africa just are self-taught, or they teach each other in the village. And when you serve food in Africa, don't forget to smile. If you serve food on a frowning face, nobody's going to eat your food. So good luck with your food if you frown your face. I'll leave you with a song called Beautiful Onyinye by P Square. Thank you so much for listening in. My name is TK Kapoor. I was your host this evening on the Global Cell on KBOO. Thank you.
P-Square.
Convict music.
Maybach music.
So sad because I was all alone. Was so bad. And there she go. She touched my heart and said, "Ebezina knows you go." Was so glad. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this love is real. Within my heart, there's no. Take you away, mommy, me, nebe, yeah. See the girl I want marry, no time, no delay, yeah. After all the things I've been through, I present my love to you. The girl I want marry, yeah. The girl I want marry, yeah. See the girl I want carry, yeah. Now the girl I want marry. Oh, Rolando, no move me, no move me. Oh, man, it's young one. What a beautiful onyinye, nenye makagi. So you want I can fly away, straight to the sky, just you and I. Girl, I know the lie. Can't you see? You were sent from above, and you know you're my heart and my sweetest. Is this love? Is this love? I don't know, but I know what I'm feeling. Now God be my witness. You're my princess, hey, hey. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this loving is real. Within my heart there's nobody else. Make you give me your hand, let me take you away.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Hello, dear listeners. Oil for Kisses is a monthly program on KBOO.